Hello, my name is Murat Nahimina. I'm a Mucho Radio Young Journalist, and I'm here with...
Savon Palvatian, President and CEO of UNICEF Canada.
Now, Savon, what are we doing here at the Halifax Convention Centre?
We are having an outstanding evening at the 34th annual UNICEF Chefs for UNICEF Gala. This is an event that's been taking place for 34 years in Halifax, and it has helped to raise well over $5 million for children. And at a time when the needs of children have never been higher, the support of the Halifax community and of the folks across the region has just been astounding. And so I'm really excited that you're here and hope that you get to taste some of the amazing food, because we have 12 chefs who have donated their time and their talents to produce some incredible meals. And so there's some fabulous tasting stations where the chefs get to lean into to nourishment, which is one of the key areas that UNICEF does our work in for children as well. So it's pretty special to be here.
Now, you mentioned words such as special and tasting. Could you give us a brief history lesson about this, how this came up in the last 34 years?
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll even start the history lesson earlier than that. At the end of the Second World War, coming out of the ashes of the war, UNICEF was created. At the time, it was meant to produce a glass of milk and a meal for children in the European countries who were war-torn and experiencing a lot of the challenges and needs that still existed. Over those 80 years, UNICEF has grown to become the world's largest and most powerful force for children. But we don't do any of that work alone, whether that's educating children, immunizing children, as you heard the powerful first story of Ramesh speaking about polio and the incredible efforts that have been made to almost eradicate, but not quite, polio around the world. The work that UNICEF does on nutrition and child protection. The fact that, you know, even something as what seems as simple in Canada as birth registration, one in four children around the world does not legally exist. They don't have a birth that's been registered. UNICEF works in so many nations to address that as well. And so over those 80 years, we have grown as an organization. We're now in 190 countries and territories, but we get that impact through events like this, government contributions, personal donations, because every dollar that UNICEF receives has been a volunteer donation and has been a choice. I love tonight. We've got 500 or 600 people here who have all chosen to spend their evening with UNICEF, and I hope choose to continue to support this work of UNICEF, because there are literally hundreds of millions of children, 200 million children this year, who will need humanitarian support. We are there, but we are only there because people helped to make it possible, and so tonight's event is a celebration of that.
And you mentioned Ramesh, the speaker, who gave us a very moving story about how he survived polio. Would you consider yourself a storyteller as well?
I think I would never compare myself to someone like Ramesh, who was just a gift of a human being, and how amazing that he spent tonight with us. He had a long travel to come from as well to be able to be here. But I think what Ramesh helps remind us, as he told his story this evening, as being a child who at two and a half, was adopted by a Canadian family. His mum, living in India at the time, knew she could not provide, or felt she could not provide, the kind of life for Ramesh that she wanted to, given he had been inflicted by polio and was not able to walk. And as you saw this evening, so powerfully, the impact of being able to stand with the support of braces or crutches, as it may be, and a disease which is entirely preventable through vaccination, entirely preventable for a very small amount of money. His story was very, very powerful. And I hope a galvanizing factor for everyone who heard it to see the potential of what we can do when we decide as a global community to tackle a problem. You saw the charts that Ramesh put on that screen tonight, the map that used to have these hot zones of where polio was rampant. There's only two countries left on the world stage today that have polio, Afghanistan and Pakistan, and it's been eradicated by 99.9%. We can get to that finish line, right? But that global community and the impact of long-standing organizations like UNICEF helped to make that the case.
And Savon, you were recently in another country, an African country, Burundi. Could you share with our listeners, how was that trip like for you?
I have the privilege of getting me of being able to see UNICEF's work in action by virtue of my role, for which I'm very grateful. Burundi, a country in Central East Africa, about 12 and a half million people, has a very tiny piece of land and many obstacles facing it. It is the poorest nation on earth, kept by virtue of GDP. I was there watching and seeing some of UNICEF's work in action with neonatal clinics in hospitals, work that we're doing on child malnutrition. Half of the children in Burundi are stunted, meaning they aren't developing properly because they haven't had access to proper food and or the combination of healthy food. And so seeing what UNICEF is doing in that regard, seeing what UNICEF is doing in supporting the refugee camp in the mountains of Burundi, where 70,000 refugees from neighboring DRC are there, half of them children, that ended up there as early as last December by virtue of the conflict that's waging on the other side of the border. And so, again, from child protection to education to nutrition to safe water and the sanitation, I always leave humbled by the technical expertise of our UNICEF colleagues on the ground working in partnership with government and other partner organizations and other NGOs. And I come back re-energized to help Canadians help children even more through UNICEF. And so that's what our event here tonight is doing with the Halifax community. And I look forward to being back next year for number 35.
And now for our last question, Sivan, how can fellow Canadians help UNICEF Canada so that we see more youth take their spots and perhaps even become young journalists?
And I love that you are a young journalist, because I think part of this, the impact of global reality, is making sure that we have storytellers, that we have people who get to turn up the volume on what really needs to be heard. Very hard to do in a world where we scroll, right, and scroll and tap left or right depending on what we want to pay attention to. I hope that young people listening get involved as youth advocates. We have an amazing program at UNICEF Canada where we find Canadian young, you should check this out, where we find Canadian young people who would like to amplify their own advocacy efforts. And so it's a year-long program that you do wherever you are based across the nation, and we give you a set of tools and bring you together once a year in Ottawa to be able to actually use some of those tools in meeting with elected officials. That's one way. Other way, we have campus clubs for UNICEF across the country in about 70 different locations, universities, colleges, high schools. 3,000 young people are ambassadors for UNICEF on their campuses, raising awareness, raising funds, and doing great work. And then the third way that young people can be involved is we have something called the U Reporters. U stands for UNICEF. And we poll young people here in this country, children and young people, and ask your opinion on topics that are important to hear from, and collectively use the input from that, those polls, to share with decision makers to say, hey, as it relates to this bill that you're considering, or this housing policy that you're debating, here's what young people think about that. Because that's what's not heard enough, right? There are the decisions that decision makers are making right now, you are going to live with through your life a lot longer than I will, right? And so we need your voices and that of your listeners to be engaged in that process. So those are three ways, and there are many more if you come to unicef.ca, that people can learn about our work. But those are three key ways that we get young people engaged, and I love them.
Thank you, Sivan, for being on Mucho Radio.
Thank you for inviting me.